Welcome back to series 5 of the podcast. This is a short collection of interviews that I had with people during the first lockdown, with a focus and emphasis on attention, intention and distraction. Hope you enjoy them.
Rebecca and Winston, thank you very much indeed for agreeing to come on the show. It's an absolute pleasure to be able to spend some time with you both, so thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Great to be here.
Now, the first question I like to explore with my guest is around balance, not the work-life balance as such that we've been programmed with in some cases, but generally what's happening in terms of your own balance as we find ourselves in this unusual period of time right now?
Well, I don't know about balance, Jeff, because I didn't manage to do balance this morning doing yoga. I upped my yoga class this morning. I went for the next level up and I clearly don't have any balance at all. I guess balance is a really interesting one, isn't it? I'm finding at the moment with a lot of people, their expectations are much quicker, that people seem to expect things to happen much sooner than before because everyone's more readily available, maybe. So, you know, they'll say, can we have a meeting? And really what they mean is like now or later on today. And not, you know, can we open the diary and have a little look where you're at? And I suppose, you know, that in a way we're right because we're not doing the travel. So we haven't got to have the whole time scales the same. But equally, it means we're not necessarily, well, I'm finding in particular, I'm not necessarily balancing my days very well. So some days it's back-to-back meetings and other days it's like I've got absolutely nothing planned and I have to make myself think what to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, similarly for me, I think it's an interesting one because I went through that phase of where, you know, I've got so much extra time like many other people and it was like, you know, I'm just going to stuff a diary full of calls and, you know, full of Zooms and all of these things. Only to realize that it's pretty unsustainable when you get Zoom fatigue and, you know, you're just knackered. So I think for me, what balance has started to look like is actually being open to it being something different every single day. Because I think I had that moment where, you know, I felt I needed to do a bit more because I had a bit more time. But actually nowadays, some days balance is, you know, watching comedies on Netflix for half a day. Rather than being on Zoom chats.
I love
perfect
it.
Perfect me.
I'm genuinely fascinated by this balance thing because, you know, I'm not sure we ever have it, or if we do, we don't have it for long because something else comes along and gets our attention. I love what you're both sharing there in terms of your experience. I want to go a little bit further and understand what's been getting your attention through this period of time? Where have you found yourself gravitating or wandering towards in terms of your attention?
Yeah, I think for me initially, if I'm honest, it was looking at other people in my industry just to see what they were doing. Because we were in this, I guess, new phase of working where everyone's been impacted in some way. So, and I think part of the overwhelm where initially I was trying to do so much was because I could see other people on social media saying that they were doing so much. I was like, oh my God, I need to write my book. I need to release my online course. You know, how to do all that stuff now. And so that was kind of drawing my attention. But I think, you know, that shift towards, you know, I just have to be Winston in this moment and not, you know, Les Brown or Tony Robbins or whoever else is pushing stuff out there was really useful for me.
Oh, I love that. You really do need to just be Winston because that's just plenty to do. Enough.
I think I'm better than Tony Robbins.
Oh, well, there we are. Yeah, definitely. Maybe if he watched a little bit more of Netflix, he'd be much happier.
He'd be much cooler, I think so.
Yeah. I mean, it's been really interesting, hasn't it? Because for me, I started getting a tad panicky because I was so busy with everything that was happening at the beginning that I wasn't able to do the extra stuff that everyone else seemed to be doing. So it wasn't that I didn't want to or I didn't feel able to, it's just I didn't have the time. And I think, you know, it's been really interesting. So my life is sort of broken up into a couple of manageable chunks. I do some consultancy work and then I'm currently the chairman for the Professional Speaking Association, which is where Winston and I know each other from. So that obviously, those two areas remained extremely busy, if not busier than ever before, whereas my speaking work just disappeared overnight. But actually, initially, there was a lot of work in just sorting out with clients' contracts and what was going to happen and did they want to try and put something online. So yeah, initially it was just really, really busy, and actually it still is to this day. I've not actually slowed down yet. And so what's grabbing my attention, usually just what my clients really need. Interestingly, I've gone back a bit. So in a previous life, if you like, a lot of my work was with business startups and business turnaround and supporting businesses going through flux and change and problems. And so obviously that's resurrected, if you like. So anyway, you know, at the moment my clients are coming back to me saying, we don't want what you do currently with us, which is the sort of innovation enterprise stuff. What we want is the, how do we get a solid sort of element to our business, and that's what they need. So yeah, I've been really, really busy with that. And the other bit that's taking attention is I'm about to become a grandma again in the next couple of weeks. So we've all kept ourselves really, really safe and locked in, so that we're able to have the toddler while my daughter goes into hospital to have the baby. So yeah, that's definitely attention grabbing, isn't it? Oh, we can't really not notice that happening in our lives. So yeah, it varies day to day, but I'm definitely trying to find ways of forcing myself to do something just for me, rather than it always being what everyone else is pulling on my attention for.
And that's what really resonates with me, because we're in a different space. And so the models of working, whether you're self-employed or employed, have been thrown up in the air. There's lots of noise out there, as there always is, but it's very easy to kind of, you know, lose that attention and that focus and not do some of the things that you would have done previously. I think I read quite early on within this space that, you know, something was circulating around social media that if you hadn't kind of learnt a language and read or 50 books or a second instrument during this time, then really you would have wasted the opportunity. And I smiled when I read that, because clearly that's not what everybody was going to do. And once I think they, you know, painted the garden fence and cleared the shed and did some of those things they've probably been putting off,
yeah,
probably shifted their energy towards something else. But I'm interested, how have you been able to maintain some of your intentional focus during this period of time and, you know, not allow yourself to be distracted too much?
Yeah, I've definitely switched off from a lot of social media. I'm not as active on social media at the minute as I normally am, mainly because I don't tend to get involved in the political conversations anyway, and there's an awful lot of that about. A lot of it is stuff that I don't really need to or want to hear, so that's fine for me. But yeah, I think going back to what Wisdom was saying, that whole thing right at the beginning where people were saying, you know, oh, I'm going to write another book and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And I was thinking, really, when, you know? And I was getting a little bit anxious that I wasn't running at the same speed as everyone else, but then I was doing stuff that they weren't doing. I think that's the trouble, isn't it? We've got to remember everyone's in a different space. So, you know, if they were employed by somebody and they were furloughed and told, you know, you can't do any work, go home, then sure, you know, go learn an instrument, go fill your time up. But for those of us that were self-employed, our attention and our distractions, I guess, are probably a bit different. So yeah, it's about sort of saying, well, that's just not realistic now. What can I do? What don't I want to do? Yeah, it is difficult, but I've tried my best to keep certain things still going. So things like fresh air, yoga, you know, I'm really into my garden, so doing things like that, just so that I get that downtime. So I'm not just doing work, really. Mm-hmm. I can see how easy it would be to just sort of get out of bed, roll into the office, sit in my pajamas, work all day and more or less roll back into bed at night. And that's just not living, is it? That's existing. So that's not really a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I really like that thought on separation, because I think initially I was kind of rolling out of bed and then straight onto my laptop and opening up emails first thing in the morning, which probably explains why I was full of overwhelm and anxiety that first couple of weeks. So I think for me, you know, one of the simple things that's helped is routine, obviously, just getting up at the same time, even Even if I haven't got a full-on day shift, you know, I just want to make sure I have at least a structure, a basic structure around my day. But then the other thing that has kind of accidentally helped me is I usually live alone in my apartment in West London. But actually, I decided to spend lockdown at my mom's place, which is a full house with siblings and my nephew and basically chaos. Yeah, so I'm not going to talk about the bad side of the chaos as I hear doors banging in the background. The good side of it has been it's kind of taking me away from that temptation to work all the time because, you know, I'm like, oh my God, I've got my family here. I should probably go and watch Coronation Street with them or whatever it is they want to do that evening. Whereas if I was still at my flat, I could easily work a whole day and not even realize it. So I think that's been a accidental but a good grab of my attention.
Yeah, it's really important as well, isn't it, for us to remember why we're doing these things. And I had that conversation with some of the business owners I was talking to the other day about, you know, they were saying, what should we be focusing on? And I said, let's go back to why you ever wanted to do this to begin with. And if you did this in order to be able to have more time with your family or more time to do something you wanted to do, then surely that still is the same important reason why. Whatever is going on in the world, potentially it's even more important. And yeah, I love the idea of it being slightly chaotic though, and I quite like that every now and again we have a bit of chaos in our house where my son sort of emerges from his bedroom because he's been trying to do his uni exams in his bedroom. And you know, it's really nice, it kind of lightens the day a bit, otherwise it could be a bit hard and just really hard going all the time.
Yeah, I think what you've both done there is somewhat what a lot of people have experienced as well through this period of time. You know, perhaps a little, an initial overwhelm and anxiety in terms of, whoa, you know, what does a routine look like? What does a structure look like? How do I work from home? Is that the best place to work from? But then also recognizing that some of those other things that we've got around us, we can start to enjoy, you know, whether it's, you know, your son or other members of the family, because if we don't, then it becomes quite tough for us to kind of carry on and function and operate, where, you know, as human beings, we like a degree of interaction, and there's only so much you can get then from that on a Zoom call or a Skype call. And I think we do get Zoom fatigue. If that's not a phrase, then it ought to be by now, because we're starting to see and hear a lot more around the impact of spending all your time, you know, on the likes of Zoom calls. We'd probably tell our kids or, you know, younger people to get off their phones or iPads or have your Xboxes all the time because it's not good for them. Yet as adults, as professionals, we've probably fallen into that trap without realizing it.
I think you're right. And it's interesting because, I mean, I've worked from home for the majority of my adult life. And, you know, yes, it's still different. It's still very different. And I think that's about the fact that people I'm working with work from home, about the fact that my husband's been working from home. That's not usual. Maybe he'd do it occasionally, but very rarely. You know, and it's like I'm used to being able to just stop when I want to stop and have lunch when I want to, take as long or as short as I want to. Whereas now you've got somebody else going, are you going back to work already? Or, you know, are you not going to do this? Or shall we do this? It's like, oh, right, okay, yeah. So you just have to change the way you work a bit. But it's definitely been really interesting working with clients and colleagues who are not used to working from home. Yeah. And they've really, really struggled with it. And, you know, I said something at the beginning, you've got to say, these are my work hours, and stop. You know, one of the girls that I work with on a regular basis, I regularly say to her, that'll do now for today. Go outside and enjoy the children. You know, because otherwise she'd still be working in the evening, and it's not healthy. It's not healthy. There is not at all balance.
I was just going to quickly add the other little thing that it's done for me as well, or maybe you could say the other gift from the chaos is it's actually humanized everybody, so including my clients as well. So people who would normally have to travel up to London and meet them in their glass office on the 34th floor you know, all of a sudden we're talking and, you know, they're in their bedroom, you know, or their children are walking into the Zoom call, just as my nephew's jumping into the room as well. So it's just kind of brought this human element, which I think has actually allowed me to get to know my clients in a more profound way than I ever had the chance to before.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I've seen that really work in everyone's favour. You know, I've been trying to deal with quite a big negotiation with a client, which could have gone quite, you know, difficult and hard-nosed. But actually, you know, it's the whole, are you okay? Yeah, you okay? What's happening? Oh, you know, the kids are this, that's going on. I did a board meeting recently with somebody's child doing their, you know, exercise classes behind them and things like that. It's really lovely. I had a really interesting call the other week with somebody talking through their technical capabilities for me. And as he was talking, his cat just sort of jumped up onto his lap, you know, and it's just like, this is really great. And you can then sort of go, oh, you've got a dog like that. I've got a dog like that. Let me get my dog, you know. Yeah. And you suddenly find you've got connection with them. Whereas before, like you say, when you meet them in their glass box, it's really hard to get a human element to it. And actually, I think most of us just crave to know people on a different level. Yeah. And it's really not. It is much nicer, I think.
It is. And, you know, to summarise what you've shared there, we've been invited into people's homes and we would never normally have that invitation. You know, not unless we knew people and established a relationship and that trust and what have you. But we've naturally, you know, and had to be invited into people's houses and homes. And I think as a result, that level of respect has just gone to a whole new level. And understanding then of their circumstances. I want to go on and explore distraction with you. Because I think sometimes...
you know, I'm just like the easiest person to get distracted.
I think distraction has a bad press. I think it's perceived to be something that's negative and it takes us away from what we ought to be doing or what we should be doing or what we've told people we're doing. But actually, I think distraction can work in another way. I think it can energize us. It can help us come out of that flow state and, you know, give us more energy to go back and do stuff later on. So I'm curious to know, what have you allowed yourself to be distracted by during this period of time that's been helpful?
Is alcohol unacceptable?
I think we've all dabbled with that.
Oh, okay. That's not interesting. Well, I mean, I'm really very fortunate. We've got land around us and space around us. We have a small holding in a very, very rural area of Wales. And yeah, so I've been really distracted by my garden. And yeah, that for me, that's kind of almost... so this really sums up my problems with distraction. So when I was going through a period of quite, you know, difficult stress levels and anxiety, I went to a local yoga group and stuff and to learn meditation. So the guy teaching meditation, after the second session, he said to me, yeah, should we just say you can't do it because you're distracted? He was trying his best. He had no joy with me, no joy. So I can't do meditation. I have tried multiple times. I know the value of it. But for me, gardening is kind of a meditation because I can go into sort of a, not a trance-like state. That sounds really weird. But, you know, I can completely switch off. I don't really think about much while I'm gardening. I'm just thinking about the garden. So that's kind of my distraction that I allow. That's not really, it's neither illegal or wrong to do. So there we go. That's good.
I've tried a couple of different things. So maybe I'll do a quick top three. So number one thing that I tried was having a nap during the day, which went a little bit too well, so I decided to stop.
I love that. I
literally had I had it scheduled in my calendar. So I had like a lunch break from 12:30 to 1:15, and then I think 1:15 to 1:45, I had a nap. That was daily, Monday, Friday.
You know, a scheduled nap, isn't it?
I'm impressed.
Yeah, it was really cool. I recommend everyone try it. Just be a
body,
bit more.
Yeah, so that's really interesting. Now, and you can see now I do get distracted. Does your body just get into it and it wakes up after the 45 minutes that you've allocated? Or
Yeah. I think what actually made me stop in the end was I realized that I didn't really need it every day, and then I didn't want to figure out like how much of a nap I need, because definitely every weekday was too much. So it's not that I was oversleeping, it's just that I probably needed it just once or twice a week, but I was having it five times a week. So it's kind of like, you know, it's not that serious.
But it's interesting, isn't it? I reckon a lot of people should own up to the fact that they've either been having a nap or needed a nap, because the level of anxiety that we're under is likely to lead to you feeling more tired. So it's not unusual or surprising, is it, in that effect? Yeah, that's brilliant. I love that. Was that number three of your top three?
That was my favourite one, so that's why.
Oh, okay. We're starting at the top. Okay, back.
Yeah. Number two was like teaching stuff that I don't usually teach on. So it's like things that are sort of like passions or things I'm really interested in. So I'm massive on like spirituality and Christianity, and you know, I've read the Bible and that kind of thing. And I have communities or groups of friends who I talk to on these topics. And so it's kind of like, oh, what if I got them together on a Zoom call and we had like a little study together, which I could lead? I mean, I lead sessions all the time for companies, so I kind of do it for a group of friends and a topic which I really care about. So that went really well, actually. We did like a 30-day challenge where we got up every morning at 7 and we just did like a half an hour little thing. So much fun. It also helped me get up on time as well. And then the third one, which I haven't been as consistent with, is writing more. And I mean more like free journaling. So kind of writing without the pressure of it having to be fantastic.
Nice.
Which I know when I've done it consistently really helps me crystallize things that I'm thinking about. So I'm still not at the level of doing it every single day, but it's really helped even in those few times when I've just sat down and gone like that.
Nice. Yeah.
They're wonderful things to be distracted by. And the thought running through my head is we've had to reinvent some of the things that we would normally do and find, you know, what energizes us, or you know, what allows us to do our best stuff. And I wonder how much we'll try and hold on to some of those things when we come through this space into whatever the next space looks like, because they've given us something back. And we won't want to lose it, you know. So how do we protect it, or how do we hold on to it? I don't know. And I think, you know, only time will tell. But when I ask that question, I'm always fascinated by what people share, because in most cases, it's given them some type of energy back that they either didn't realize or actually they've come to enjoy a lot more.
Yeah, and I think, you know, going back to the sort of whole getting to know people on a different level and that more human element, that more connection, and sort of a more awareness of the fact everyone's going through all sorts of different things at different times. Yeah, I really hope we don't lose that. I think that's probably my wish for it, that, you know, we don't get back to the point where we don't really care. We don't ask people. We just say, how are you? But we're not really interested. I think at the moment when we ask, how are you, we mean, are you really okay? You know, can we carry on with this conversation? Can we do this meeting? Whereas, yeah, normally when we ask it, it's a throwaway, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think that's something that I've been trying to incorporate in my online sessions. So typically, you know, I'm a content man, like, let's just get straight to it. You know, I've got so much content for you guys. But pretty much the last couple of workshops that I've done, they've been around 90 minutes. And the first half hour has just been checking in, literally just checking in. Which, you know, previous to this would have felt like a huge waste of time. It's like, oh my God, that's half an hour's content you could have packed in there. But definitely necessary, and definitely something that I believe has deepened those relationships.
Yeah, definitely. And I've had the same with some of the courses that I've been doing online, is that we've been spending time saying, yeah, what's your situation? What's happening? And particularly with small business owners, I've been saying, you know, have you got any income, no income, some income, mm-hmm. income from something different? And they're going, actually, that's probably about the most useful thing you could have done for us, because I can see I'm not alone now. You know, everyone else has got the similar struggles. Everyone else is trying to do the same thing, because it's that feeling mm-hmm. that you're not doing as well as other people that really mm-hmm. stops us from achieving often, because we're just frozen in our own fear almost, aren't we?
It does. I have one final thing that I'm going to ask each of my guests. If you could spend 1% of your day, so 14.4 minutes of your day, doing something each day during the course of however long we've got left, it might be another month, it might be 3 months, what would you spend that 1% of your day doing?
Maybe for me, I can bring back my sleeping, although it wouldn't be nice. Nah, I'm too used to half an hour. Sorry.
Yeah, me too. I think a nap is the way to go. I love that. Oh my god.
Yeah, I think as I was speaking, I actually remembered like one of my other like big passions, which I haven't really had a chance to do, is sketching. So I really used to be a good pencil artist when I was younger, winning like competitions and stuff in school. And you know, Jeff, you mentioned about things that give you energy. I remember, you know, that was one of the things that as I was sketching, or as I was, you know, creating these, in my opinion, masterpieces, you know, it had a therapeutic value to it, but also it gave me a lot of energy. So I wouldn't mind trying that for 14.4 minutes a day to see how that would look 20 years later.
Come back and
so play. I would have liked to have said that I would love to have done some more baking. Everyone's been doing baking, and I haven't particularly done any baking because I haven't had the time, which is really sad, isn't it, that I haven't had time to make a cake, you know, because that's just what we need at the minute, isn't it, really, cake and bread. So yeah, maybe baking, but baking's gonna take more than 14 minutes. I think probably, yeah, making myself do my sort of yoga, or at least having that sort of time out, you know. I mean, I talk a lot about the concept of having 10 to 20 minutes every morning to set your intention for the day, be that you sit outside with your coffee in the sun, or you know, you do a bit of yoga and set that intention of what do I really want to achieve, because I think far too often we're distracted by what everybody else wants us to achieve that day and not what we want to achieve that day. And I definitely fall into that category. Mm-hmm. It's one of my weaknesses, that I tend to do what everyone else wants me to do, and I get to the end of the day and think, I didn't do that. You know, I've got another book that started and it needs to be finished. It's what people need at the minute. And it's like, I just, yeah, okay, so maybe I should just do that for 14 minutes a day. I don't know. See, Nick, I told you I got distracted easy.
I love it. It sounds like you've committed to that, Rebecca. Oh, listen, thank you both for, you know, sharing what you've shared in our conversation and our discussion. I love where your attention and your intention and indeed your distraction is taking you. There's some rich stuff in there which is absolutely brilliant. So thank you both very much indeed for agreeing to come on the show. It's been an absolute
pleasure. You're welcome, Jeff.
Pleasure.